Bob, Bob Zedwick, to share his testimony and minister the word of the Lord to us today. Karen and I first met Bob and Cheryl some 5 years or so. I mean, it's been a lot of years back when we were doing a home group in Shelley and Michael's place. And so it just, there was an immediate
connection
there, and just kindred hearts, you know, just
yeah.
that, you'll, if you haven't got a chance to, in fact, that's one of the reasons I just kind of wanted to give opportunity for them to share a little bit about themselves, but both gifted teachers, students of the Word, of course, and but just have such a, both of them, such servant's hearts, and such a gift of hospitality.
Yes.
And I could go on down, and I'm just, I just want to, I guess I just want to have you come, Bob, and share. And could we just welcome and say,
come on,
Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, this is an honor to be able to speak to you all. Blessing and peace be on you all. God has been good to us over the years, and we don't know many of you because we're kind of new here, but am I loud enough?
For, yes.
Okay. We want to, since you probably are somewhat unfamiliar with us, many of you, we thought we'd the best thing to start out with would be our testimony, what we went through, what we've gone through, how we got here to where we are today. Cheryl and I have been married almost 50 years now. It wasn't always smooth. Yeah. But before I met her, I was a full-blown heathen. No question about it. I think I broke every one of the Ten Commandments. I was a thief, a liar. I was a blasphemer, adulteress, or whatever you call it. And I even had idols. I raced motorcycles, and I wasn't too much of a drunk, but it was enough to be a problem. And smoked pot and stuff like that. And anyway, I met Cheryl, and our parents weren't real keen on the idea of me marrying her because I was way out in left field. And so I went to her dad, and you want to tell that part of it?
I grew up in the Christian church and accepted Jesus and was baptized at 6. And from that point, have never not known God in my life. And that doesn't mean you don't go through hard times and difficult things, but God was in my life. And so my reputation in high school, both with my family and other high schoolers, was goody two-shoes. No one even invited me to the kinds of parties that Bob went to. So it was a God thing when we met. We met my dad's birthday. My older brother, he had dropped out of college, and he was working in the building manufactured homes in McMinnville. And I was 18, and my brother met him and brought him home and said, "I've got 4 sisters, take your pick." And we were married 3 months later. So a lot of the things that they... that our shaky foundation for marriage. If you've ever read the book Finding the Love of Your Life, they have 7 things that not to do, and we did 6 of them. But I knew it was God. I knew it was God. Well, his parents had been Christians and spirit-filled for a number of years, and his mom couldn't. In fact, not only prayed against us getting married, went to my parents and said, "Bob, Cheryl shouldn't marry Bob because he's not a believer." So I actually, at one point, my best friend wouldn't be in my wedding, and so I went to Bob and I said, well, I'm not sure I can marry you when you're not a believer. And so he went to my dad, and my dad said, well, Bob, are you against Christians? And he said, no. And he said, well, then, Jesus said, if you're not against us. And so he and my dad came to me, and my dad said, Bob, are you against Christians? And Bob said, oh, no. And my dad said, then I give you my blessing. Well, I've been to Basic Youth Complex, and Basic Youth, Bill Gothard had said that if your parents don't give you your blessing, their blessing, don't do it. So I felt the converse must be true as well. And so, and I knew in my heart, even though I was young, I had issues that had never been brought out into the open, let alone healed. Bob had issues, we call it BC, before Cheryl. Including, we didn't find out until 10 years ago, a son had been born that he didn't know about. So we got married, and we had 5 kids, all boys, and have gone up and down. God is faithful. If we had to write a book, we have a pretty humdrum life, but God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. God is faithful. We've lived all over the United States. We've done lots of fun things, some not so fun things. He spent 4 years in the military, and he spent a year of that overseas, and I went back to live with Mom and Dad. That's a whole nother...
That was tough.
...thing to go through for both of us, but God is faithful. Bob gave his heart to the Lord within about 3 months of our getting married.
I'll tell that part.
You want to tell that part?
So, we were married for
3 months.
Three or so months, and her church was having one of these retreats. And I had enough knowledge about how churches work because I was forced to go to church as a youngster. And so I learned a little bit of stuff there, but I didn't really walk with the Lord at all. And so when this happened, she wanted me to go to this retreat with her. And I didn't want anything to do with it. And so she kept after me. And I thought, well, I'll just outsmart her. And so I said, okay, I'll go under one condition, that you arrange for us to have a room together. Because on retreats, typically, they separate the men and the women. And so I knew I was pretty safe there. Well, she came back a couple of days later and said, well, we got a room by ourselves. I go, oh, no. And I had enough honor and integrity left in me that I had to go. So this was on a Friday we went, and Saturday came by and went pretty much. And on Saturday night, I don't know what happened, but the Holy Spirit hit me like a ton of bricks. And I couldn't quit crying for like 2 hours. And all this stuff was coming out, and the Holy Spirit was just cleansing me. And it was radical. I'd never experienced anything like that. And the pastor, I don't think he had experienced anything like that either. Because we went and told him what happened, and he was stunned. Because, in the Christian church, it's a social gospel pretty much. And so somebody getting saved under his ministry was phenomenal. So we became good friends, even though we were kind of adversarial in our premarital advice or whatever you call it.
A couple of sessions.
Yeah. He wouldn't marry us unless I sat with him for at least 2 or 3 sessions and discuss the gospel. Well, I outsmarted him on all of them. And he didn't have good comebacks at all. He just quoted the word, and that's a big deal, I mean, it's just a crutch, man, get over it. And so we weren't really on good terms, but nonetheless, he followed through with his promise. And when the Lord got a hold of me, of course, he was overjoyed. So Anyway, the Lord began to work on me in many different ways. He changed me through multiple trips with Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, the retreats, and the fellowship was just phenomenal. I'd never encountered anything like that. And eventually, I felt like the Lord was tugging on my heart to start a local chapter in Corvallis. And that's what we did a few years later. And we went for a year and a half, thereabouts, with all kinds of powerful testimonies from people all over the nation, really. And a lot of people got saved, and it was just a phenomenal ministry and a great opportunity. And God just blessed us in many different ways. And go ahead, yeah.
So we, after the military, came back to OSU, finished his engineering degree, and then we ended up in Texas with his first engineering, well, not his first, but an engineering position came open down there. And so the Lord took us to Texas, and I felt like God had taken us to the desert, and he stayed in Oregon. And of course, when you have those experiences, it's because God wants you to dig deep. There's a mesquite tree in West Texas, and in Houston, the mesquite tree is 60 or 80 feet deep, tall. In West Texas, a mesquite tree is about 5 feet tall, but the roots are big enough for a 60-foot tree, and they have to take the roots out with bulldozers because they go so deep. And that's what the Lord did for us,
mm-hmm.
is he took the roots of what I had known all my life and made it a sustainable in any environment. And so we went from Texas to Oklahoma to Ohio, and meanwhile, we have all of these issues that have never been resolved or talked about, and we were slowly destroying our marriage. And Bob was making pretty good money in Ohio, but he was real homesick. Both of our parents were here. So we literally gave away or sold everything and came home with starting all over again with 5 kids. And
that was tough. Yeah.
Well, that was hard, harder for me than it was for him. That was really, literally my Ruth time, in that I came home because my husband came home. But I held it against him. All of those precious wedding gifts and things that I lost or had to give away, and of course, all those issues I had carried from the time I was a child. So we got to the point in our marriage where I begged God to make him leave. And God wouldn't let me leave. Whenever I asked God, he said, "You made your covenant with me, not with him."
Yeah.
And Sherry is actually very instrumental. Sherry's Bob's cousin. And through that hard time, I was sharing with her, and she shared some things with me that I still didn't have hope, but I knew I had to stay with Bob, and I didn't want to love him. I didn't love him. I didn't even want to be around him. And finally, this went on for a couple of years, and finally the Lord said, "Do you see what you're doing to him?" And I said, I was smitten. And so I said, "God, I don't love him and I don't want to love him, but I will let you love him through me." And that's when God transformed my heart. And so we literally had to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to rebuild, because what we had built the first time led to destruction. And so God brought a ministry called Marriage Ministries International, and I wept my way through 13 lessons, and then God started opening the doors for us to do healing and deliverance, and I wept my way through healing and deliverance. And
so, backing up from my perspective, I had actually walked away from the Lord pretty much. I backslid, And I got back into motorcycle racing. I started doing karate, and I was not spending much time with the family at all because it was just too much trouble. And I became extremely selfish, thinking only of myself. And this made things even worse. But we reached a point where, through a friend, he asked us, well, what do you want to do with your marriage? Because we told him all the situation. And we had to stop and think. I was thinking of ways to leave, but I had no place to go. And I wasn't about to sleep in my pickup. That wasn't any fun. So, and that's all I thought about was, how can I have fun? And, you know, that's how you get when you're selfish. So we had to stop and think about what we wanted to do. We want to walk away from this whole thing and bring all kinds of curses on our kids? Or do we want to try to rebuild? And so we sat there for a while and figured out that probably the best path would be to rebuild. And it took me a long time to come to that decision, but I knew that was the right thing. And so we began to do that, and Cheryl shared how we got involved with marriage ministries and how it rebuilt a lot. Gave us a new foundation, really. And we had good, solid things to build on before, prior, our first, 30 years or so? 15?
Oh. It felt like 30.
Maybe 40.
You've been married 120.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. So.
We had a dear friend, and she said they called those years their Cold War years.
So God is good. He's gracious to us and helped us get over the many different hurdles. We began to have dreams, or at least I did, and God led us to the point to where I started journaling my dreams. And that had powerful meaning to us, which I want to share a little bit about when we're through with our testimony. But.
And I'll just share one more thing. So we have 5 boys, all of them married. We have grandbaby 15 and 16 due this fall.
In the oven.
If you want to pray for Ben and Megan, this is their first child, and she lost 2 previous. She's at her 8-week point. She's already passed where she lost her. So we're feeling confident, but we're just really bathing them in prayer. And this baby is our heritage. The devil doesn't get a say.
Amen. Amen.
So
he's a liar and a thief.
Grandbabies
anyway,
are important in our life. Our oldest grandson is 23. He's in Bible school in Montana. And so they just keep coming.
Yeah. So.
All right.
That's good.
You want to go out this way? Okay. Well, I want to sit down. I don't like standing up for very long, so bear with me. I brought my journal today because I wanted to cover some things. And I thought about, hey, I could talk about the New World Order. That'd be really cool. But no, that was not the way to go. And then I thought, well, we could talk about how to recognize the symptoms of the Jezebel spirit. No, that's probably not the way to go either. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me to share some testimonies of my dreams. And some of them are fulfilled and some of them are not. So I want to preface that with some scriptures because dreams are important, a lot more important than we give them credit for sometimes. And in the book of Job 33 and verse 15 and 16, it says, in a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men while they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. So dreams come to us oftentimes to guide our lives, but they're not always real clear, because they're symbolic in nature. And we have to figure out through some investigation, through some study in the Word, using the principles of the Bible to figure out what he's trying to say. You know, Freud had his way of doing things, but it was all always perverted. And that's not a good way to interpret your dreams. And there's some others out there that are, you know, new age type that want to help you, but they're going to fool us if we listen to them. So I began to become a faithful watcher of John Paul Jackson, the late John Paul Jackson, if you ever heard of him. He died a couple years ago suddenly. Actually, he died three times. You know, the Bible says that we're appointed to once to die. He got three. So, figure that one out. Well, I'll tell you the answer to that. The first one was when he was a little baby, and he contracted something, and he died. But his mother had a promise from God that he would be a prophet and a powerful preacher and teacher. And so she petitioned God, and God raised him from the dead. And so he went, as he grew up, about 11 or 12, he had many different experiences, I'm sure, but he got sick again. And he was kind of a frail person to begin with as a youth. And he ended up dying from that infection. And his mother went to the Lord again, said, "This is your promise, Lord, and it's not fulfilled." And the Lord raised him up again. So the appointment is God's appointment. Yeah. The other two, the first two, were the devil's appointments, and they're false, they're lies. And God reversed everything because he made a promise to his mother, and his mother held God to it. Instead of just letting it go, she persisted, and God honored that. So anyway, I really like listening to him. Even to this day, there's multiple videos on YouTube about the things that he experienced through visions and through dreams. And the Lord led him to start a ministry in dreams. And he's even to this day, even though he's passed, his ministry still goes on, helping people to interpret dreams all over the world. And so one of the other scriptures I wanted to read was out of Joel 2:28-29. And it says, "It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." He's talking about the last days. So I know that the dreams are coming from the Lord, and I must be old, but not that old, because I don't feel it. Well, sometimes I do. But the Lord is good, and he's given me many dreams, and of which I don't fully understand. But some of them I do, because they've been interpreted for me by other people. And when you get a dream interpreted and you know it's the right one, there's a aha, yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. And you know in, deep in your soul that that's the right interpretation, because many different interpretations come from many different people and they're not always right on. So I like, you know, in the multitude of councils, I like to see what people say about my dreams. And so what I want to do right now is tell you, read a few of them that I accumulated over the years. Back in August in 2016, I'm reading right out of the journal, so Cheryl and I were driving our car and parked it in a bank parking lot to check out our balance in our account, our checking account. And so we're looking on our cell phone to see how the balance was. And as we were doing this, a car pulled into the banking parking lot, and the driver started looking at us with a puzzled look on his face. And we thought, what's this all about? And we looked down at our phone, and all of a sudden, cha-ching, we had a big deposit going to our account. And it came from that guy. And we didn't know what that was all about, but he was perplexed. We were too. And then the dream changed. We went to a second bank parking lot, and the same thing happened again. What is this all about? So I couldn't figure that out for a long time. And somebody told me that cars, when you're in a car, it's in a dream, it typically represents your calling, your job, or your ministry. And so the other person was in a car too. So there's, we're talking about two different callings or two different ministries. And we were the older ones. So what I got out of this is that someday, if it hasn't already started, younger ministries will help us, not necessarily with money, but will assist in building our ministry. And we don't necessarily even know what that is yet. But so that's kind of a fun dream, having money to put in your checking account. So today, money is coming our way in unexpected ways. Hasn't always been that way. It comes and goes. But I believe that we have entered the time when the great transfer of wealth is starting to happen from the unbelievers, from the unrighteous to the righteous. The Bible talks about that. And I've seen the other people starting to experience the same thing. So pray that it will happen to you, because God has promised it, and it's ours to take. That doesn't mean that we're all going to become rich, but some of you will, and that's okay, as long as you're faithful to the Lord with what He gives you, because it's all His anyway, right? So, next dream. Oh. Years ago, I had a dream about, I think it was in about 2010 and maybe even a little further. I started thinking seriously about preparing for the worst and what they call today prepping. So I was going to get solar systems, water systems, electrical systems all built up. And I was real excited about that. It has a kind of a seductive feel to it, and I took the bait and started going in that direction. But I didn't have any cash to go with it. So one day I had a dream, and the Lord showed me that this is a thief coming to steal the resources that you have reserved for the kingdom. And I thought, no. And so I kind of had to give up that dream, which was a good thing, because the Lord's going to take care of us. Yes. We don't have to worry about it. Amen. And so I quit watching that particular engineer on YouTube. He had a lot of good ideas and really cool backup systems. But it's not for me unless the Lord directs me in that direction. And another one. Okay, I had a, there was a, I went to, has everybody heard of Todd White and his ministry? It's a powerful street ministry, if you want to call it that, but he's also started a school where he trains people to go out into the streets and preach the gospel. And he does it through the miraculous. So he doesn't necessarily just preach the word, but he couples that with miracles. And people actually get healed that don't know anything about healing or about God even. And so it opens a door of ministry that he can step right into. And so he felt like the Lord wanted him to train other people to do the same. So I went to one of his weekend seminars, and I'd had a couple dreams before that, but I didn't know what they meant. And so I wanted to tell you what those dreams were and what they mean. One of them was I was driving in my pickup going to Washington, and I was approaching a triple lane bridge right about Woodland area. I don't know if you've ever been out that far north. But anyway, I was in the fast lane, And there was a group of cars that were running a whole lot slower than me, and I was going to just blow right on by them. And all of a sudden, and I hadn't quite reached them yet, and all of a sudden this Mustang goes, pulls right in front of me and sets pace with the other cars. I'm going, what are you doing? And I thought, well, okay, I'll get in the middle lane and try to work through them. And another Mustang comes up and pulls beside me, blocks my path. And a third one pulls up in the third lane and blocks my path there. So, and I looked at the Mustangs, and they were all pale in color. And in dreams, pale in color typically means non-aggressive. So, but Mustangs are powerful. They're considered a powerful muscle car. So I knew that these represented, later I realized they represented powerful ministries that were holding me back to stay in pace with the other people and not leave them behind. I didn't know that. And this lady said that the bridge represents a new territory that we're going to be going into if we haven't already. And when that happens, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that God had a meaning in those dreams, and he doesn't want us to, you know, run off ahead of everybody, but to bring people along with us. And the other dream that I had that she interpreted was I was on the 85th floor of this big ministry building. It was and I didn't know who it was or who it represented or what organization. All I knew was 85th, and there was a couple other guys in the room with me, and they said, hey, let's open a window and go out there and levitate a little bit. I'm going, well, that's kind of new to me, but all right, you guys go first. So both of them went one after the other and started levitating out there, and I was really curious about whether I could do that or not. So I did in the dream. And we were just having a blast out there. And all of a sudden, this door opens way down on the floor level, a single story building opened its doors, and out came a whole bunch of kids dressed in blue. It was a school. It was part of this big, tall building. And off to my right, several buses pulled up, and kids were getting out of the buses dressed in red, and they were going to have a riot. And the first guy says, hey, we got to get down there right now. And I thought, how are you going to do that? So he said, I'm going down, and pssst, he disappears. And I'm going, good grief. What have I got myself into? And the second guy says, me too, and pssst, he disappears. I said, well, Lord, I don't know what else to do but go down with him. He said, okay. And so I began to fall. And about halfway down, the Holy Spirit spoke to me real clearly. He says, how do you want to stop? Oh, I hadn't thought of that. So I said, well, I want to stop like Superman does, you know, just, you know, with one knee on the ground. Or, and he said, okay, speak it out. So as I continued the fall, I said, slow. Slower, slower, and the words in my mouth were actually making things change in the dream. And I landed safely on the ground, and there was no riot. Somehow it got dispersed. I don't know anything about it. It wasn't in the dream. But the scene changed, and I was in a restaurant sitting next to one of the guys having a bowl of soup or something. And the Holy Spirit, we talked about how great an event that was, and the Holy Spirit said, go and tell somebody. So I went out in the foyer and ran into this guy coming in, and I said, hey, do you believe in miracles? He goes, well, no, not really. And I said, let me tell you about what just happened to me. And I woke up, so I don't know what happened after that. So the lady said, well, the tall building is a school that represents a powerful ministry, and it's Todd White's ministry, because it is very powerful. And he's going to teach you about the kids that were dressed in red represents, I think it's the prophetic, and the kids dressed in blue represents revelation, knowledge. And those combined can sometimes be in conflict with each other. But he said he's going to give you both. And that's what those kids represented. And the 85 is a scripture reference. So I thought, well, there's not many books in the Bible that had 85 chapters, let alone verses. So I looked it up. And in Psalms 85, it says, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. That's where we get our righteousness, isn't it? It's not us. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. It's junk. We try to be good, and it just doesn't work. I tried that many times. And it's God's righteousness through Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again so that we could have life and life more abundantly. And that's what he's done for me. And I go on to read in verse 12, yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Isn't that cool? So I could go on and on. There is one more I wanted to share. This was kind of a stunning dream. I'm not sure how it all fits in. But I had a dream where I walked up to a fast food window and I wanted to order something. And I said to the guy, just out of the blue, I said, the guy at the window said to me out of the blue, he says, I wish I knew the Lord. And I was taken aback by that. And I said, so I told him that I could take care of that for him right now. And he said, okay. And I had him repeat a sinner's prayer, which he did gladly. And as I prayed with him further about serving Jesus, he stopped me cold and said, hey, hold on a minute. I didn't say anything about serving him. I'm going, what? And so I woke up. So that kind of shook me a little bit, because there are some people who want the ticket to heaven, but they don't want to go follow the righteous path to goodness, to the Lord Jesus, and serve him and obey him. Let's see. How much time do I have? A couple more hours?
Once you share, you're going to share out of Psalm 1.
Yeah, I want to do that last.
Okay.
Everyone, we're. There's one more I wanted to share with you. It was back in November of 2017. In the dream, I was in a big house in the back bedroom. This is important. And there was a huge family gathering, and there's lots of people all throughout the house. But my brother Phil and his wife were in the back bedroom too, and I was sitting on the bed, and we had the window open. And there's most of the kids, our kids, were in the room too. And all of a sudden, a cicada bug flew in the window and landed on my back. And I couldn't reach it. I was trying to, all different ways to get a hold of it and get it off of there because it didn't feel good. And he wasn't biting me or anything. He was just, you know, kind of digging in with his claws. And I said, hey, kids, can somebody get that bug off me? And nobody volunteered. And finally, Josh, our youngest son, said, yeah, Dad, I'll do it. And so he goes to reach, and he sees the bug and how ugly it is, and he goes, oh, I don't think I can do that. So nobody was able to do anything for me at that point. So I thought, well, I'll go find somebody. So I walked throughout the house asking different people if there was a doctor there. And I found a doctor, and he said, no problem, we'll take care of that. And he had me turn my back, and he reached out and pulled it off, and it flew against the wall. And I recognized it as a cicada bug for the first time. And I'm thinking, oh, that's nothing. But I didn't know what all that meant. And later I got the interpretation that the house and the back room is, the house is about our history, or no, it's about our lives, and then the back room is about our history. And the front door, or the front area of the house, typically means the future. So here I was in the back room, and in the past I had done something that brought a reproach on the family, because the whole family was there. And that bug represented the reproach. But the doctor, Dr. Jesus, came to the rescue, and he pulled that bug off. And he said, the reproach is on me. It's no longer yours. So, anyway. So, with that, okay, yeah, please do. Quick.
So, our oldest son lives in Dallas, Texas, and he's got three kids. And so we try to go down every couple of years and spend time with them. And we were down there a couple of years ago for Mark's birthday. And our son Jason lives up north of Seattle, and his kids are all adults now. But all the grandkids know about Grandpa's dreams. And when we were at Mark's, our grandson Jonathan, who was 18 at the time, and had gone through a battle of wanting to commit suicide and some tough...
Dark stuff.
And he called Grandpa and he said, Grandpa, I've had this dream, the same dream, three nights in a row, the exact same dream. And he said, I want you to tell me what it means. And so he explained the dream to us, and we both knew it was a spirit of death.
Trying to get him.
And Grandpa bound that spirit of death, and then we prayed with him. And then we found out later that there was such a transformation in Jonathan that even the school called Jason and said, what has happened to Jonathan? I love all
changes
of our
life.
All of our right. grandkids know that if they need somebody to pray for them, they call Grandpa. Yeah.
So anyway, that's pretty much what I wanted to share. I think, let me make sure. Oh, this is kind of a cool one. Cheryl and I, in this dream, were living in my parents' house in Lincoln City up Schooner Creek, if you know where that is. And we had gone to town, had dinner, came back, and it had been raining while we were gone. And we walked in the lower level, and the carpet was all wet. It was soaking wet. And so I looked up to the next level, which was just a couple of steps, and I saw this beautiful furniture. It was like a museum almost, just exotic chairs that were decorated really ornately with lots of red colors and multiple colors, and the carpet was like an oriental carpet, and it also was red. But I stepped up to it, and it was soaking wet as well. So I thought, well, we got to figure out where this water's coming from. So we go outside and look at the roof, because we figured, you know, it's pouring down through the roof. And I look up on the roof, and there's a section of the roof where one section overlaps the other, and there's a window there. But the window never got installed. And we had a piece of plastic over it, and the plastic got ripped off in the storm. And so the rain was coming in there. So we figured that was the cause of the whole thing. But what the Lord showed me is that the upper room where all that ornate furniture was his richness of love for us. And the water represented his love. And that really touched my heart, because that was, I didn't know how to interpret that. It was a cool dream, but what do you do with some of this stuff? So if you guys want dreams interpreted, I can't promise you I can interpret them, but I do have a book that, actually we have a couple of books that help in that area. And I would, if you've had dreams that you're puzzled about, I would pay attention to those and begin to seek the Lord about what they mean, if you haven't already. I would like to wrap up by speaking a blessing over you out of Psalms 115. If you guys could post that. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people, Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. If you go on the next one. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.